Hey, welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by my regulars, Cody Thompson. How you doing today, Cody?
Feeling pretty good. I've got a regular size mic, so that's going to work better than my miniature mic from last week.
You got a crazy shirt on there, too.
Bad Birdie polo.
Yeah. Oh, that's a Bad Birdie shirt. Oh, okay. It's hard to see on Zoom. That's cool. Tracy, how are you today?
I'm awesome today. How are you, Pat?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back in the office. Yeah, you don't ask me, do you? Gosh, it makes me feel so sad.
I've never asked you. I feel bad.
Sorry, Pat.
I'm the host, though. That's my job. I'm doing okay. I've been out of the office for a long time, and it is so good to be back with all of you guys. So it's wonderful. And we love doing these podcasts. We've got Matt, our engineer. Matt, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Matt's got a thumbs up. Awesome. I've also got Karen Amador with me. She's my wonderful reminder. She's going to sit here and feed me notes when I forget to say something. Cody, what are we going to talk about today?
Today's episode is titled Personal Life Lightning Round.
The Personal Life Lightning Round. Let me explain what that means. The lightning round, for people that don't know, is one of the things we suggest to our clients and to other people that they do at the beginning of their staff meetings, where before they dive into their priorities and everything, they go around the table and everybody just says, hey, what are you working on this week? What are you working on this week? What are you doing? And everybody gets literally 30 seconds to say what their priorities are. You do it very quick. That's why we call it the lightning round. And at the end of that, everybody kind of knows what we're dealing with, what everybody thinks they're going to work on. This is a little different. It came to me this morning. I was driving into work. My wife gave me a ride, Laura. And we got some stuff going on in our family right now. Every family does. And she and I were talking about it, which was great. I should have her give me a ride every day because having that 11-minute commute time with her was great. And I thought, oh my gosh, it's so good to actually kind of get stuff off your chest before you start working so that you can then go into work and feel like, okay, I've processed that. I've put it where it needs to be. And I'm fully present. And I thought, you know what we should do? We should have teams, not entire offices, not companies, but teams come together, either when they come to the office and they're all sitting around if they work in the same area, or if they sit down at a meeting, they should do a lightning round at the beginning of that meeting around their personal life. Now, not where everybody has to have something to say, but what we should do in the first 3 or 5 minutes of a meeting was just go, hey, is anything going on in somebody's personal life right now that's distracting, that's important, and it's sitting there and it has the potential to bleed into this. Is there anybody that got something going on that's distracting them in their personal lives? And it's not a counseling session, and it does require a little bit of emotional intelligence, but most people will probably say, nope, I'm good this week. I think things are pretty good. Somebody's going to say, I'm really worried about my daughter, or I'm really concerned about my dad, or we've got some things going on, and yeah, I'm distracted. And then people can just say, hey, we feel for you. I know what that's like. Or, hey, you know, I know somebody that might be able to help you with that. We should talk about that later. Or, hey, I'm going to pray for you and your daughter later. Or heck, you might say, let's say a quick prayer right now. Mm-hmm. And there's so many benefits to this. And that's what we want to talk about today, is how powerful a 3 to 5 minute lightning round around a distracting personal issue could be to a team. So that's a long intro just to kind of set the stage. And what do you think of that, Cody?
I mean, I think it's totally in line with most of what we preach about organizational health and the healthy side of companies, is that this is a very human, work is a very human and messy experience.
Right.
And I think that this sort of idea of you're not airing your dirty laundry, you're letting people into what's going on in your life that actually you do bring to work. And I think for a long time, there is that sentiment of like, separate your work and your home life. And then people would go to work and feel like they need to turn off whatever's going on in their home life, which you can't do. And then we make bad assumptions about people when we don't know what's going on, if things are distracting in their home life. So if you had come in today, Pat, and been grumpy or irritable or disengaged, and we don't say what's going on from a personal standpoint, we're going to interpret that as you don't care about our work today. You're not being a good team member, any of those things. When actually if you were to dig deeper, it's actually stuff going on in your personal life that if you just said, hey, just for context, I've got stuff going on at home, I might seem a little distracted. That gives us permission to just dive right in and give you the grace that you deserve for being a human being.
Yeah, because if we don't do that, people are going to, that's like fodder for the fundamental attribution error, where it's like, well, he's being quiet, he must hate this idea, or is he mad at me? And you start to make all these assumptions. And if you don't know where it's coming from, you can't give him grace and you can't allow yourself to let go of that. By the way, I just realized where this idea came from. It came from my son, Matt, our engineer, who called me at home this morning and said, "Hey, Dad, I know you and Mom had a meeting last night. How did it go?" I was like, "Oh, that's interesting." He goes, "Yeah, I just want to flesh this out with you so when you come into work, we don't have to spend a lot of time doing it. We can do it now." And it was so great because I needed to do that. I needed to process it. Hmm. And then by the time I got to work, that was done and I could just dive in. And so that's where this idea came from. I just realized that. Now, I want to say this. I want to anticipate people's objections who are listening to this thinking, "Hey, listen, you guys are getting just way too soft and this is so personal." We're not talking about counseling. We're not talking about an entire office going around and everybody saying, "What's the biggest issue in your life right now?" Maybe once a quarter you can do something like that when you're on a team, not an office. But this is about a small group of people who work together that have some basic level of trust. And it's about ensuring that those ideas don't get in the way and about giving each other a little bit of love. Yeah, I use that word. Mm-hmm. Because that's what work is about, as well as getting stuff done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so funny, Pat. I've been watching this consultant of ours, friend of mine, Nate, emailed us and said, "Hey, I would love for you and Pat to watch this series that is getting popular on one of these streaming services. And it's called Severance." And he's like, "I'd love for you to talk about it." And here's the concept behind the show. I've seen a couple episodes, so I'm not advocating that people should go watch it or not, but the concept is really interesting. There's a company in the future who literally, if you work on a certain floor of this organization, you have to undergo a procedure that they basically sever your, what they call your like outie, the person who lives out in the real world, and the memory of the person that works inside the company.
I've heard about this.
Yeah. And I think what I find fascinating about it is it's so antithetical to everything that we believe about how we work with whole human beings. And they sort of like make this moral, you know, this, it's an interesting moral conversation that's going on in these episodes around, hey, should we separate entirely? If there were even a procedure where we could do that, is that better for the human being and better for the company? And obviously we don't ascribe to that at all. But no. There is that sentiment that people go, well, if your dad's sick or if your family life is in crisis, don't bring that to work. We just want you to show up and do your work and you're an employee number. And I think that this is so important. I would even argue that it's more important right now than it was 3 years ago to be intentional about this, because there used to be that whole like water cooler talk, right? Like, even though we're here to work, occasionally we'd get around the water cooler and I would tell you a little bit about what's going on in my life. But over Zoom with more virtual work, this isn't happening naturally. And so I like the idea of at the beginning of a meeting, asking that question, is there something that's distracting to you? Because it is a whole human being that's coming to work.
You know, it's so interesting. So first of all, what this is saying is, gee, if you came to work and acted like a robot, you know, without personal issues, that would be great. And it's not a surprise that this show comes around, because it's a combination of industries that probably would value that. Technology, because technology companies more than others treat people like robots. And mm-hmm. they're just like, can't you just get stuff done? And the film industry, which is one of the most dysfunctional industries you're ever going to find. And you think that they were like, wouldn't that be great? And here's the thing, even if it were possible, even if there was just a little switch on your arm that you could just flip that switch over and go, oh, I'm going to temporarily empty myself of my personal problems so I can just be here at work. Even then, there's something terribly immoral and wrong and bad for the work environment. We're not recognizing that the beginning of work is dignity and humanity, not mm-hmm. productivity. Mm-hmm. And yet, if you're, I'll throw another industry in there, it's like investment banking, but an investment banker and a technology executive and a movie producer would probably think this would be utopian. And there's something kind of dark. I mean, that's so dark to think that, and I can just hear people making the argument for like, well, if you could just flip that switch, that would be great.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think the assumption is made, we did a podcast a couple of weeks ago about what is assumed is often the most important. I think assumptions are made on both sides. Like the leader of the team is assuming, oh, they don't want me to know about their personal life, so I shouldn't ask. And the employee is thinking like, well, I shouldn't share because they don't want me to share what's going on in my life. When you actually do that, it's such a gift to the employee and the leader. Like we have a model. I mean, you have a model in the book, The Truth About Employee Engagement, Pat, and it used to be called The Three Signs of a Miserable Job. And one of the signs of a miserable job is anonymity, that people feel unknown by their leader or their manager. And however you say that word, that's not just like most managers know their employees' work, but they don't know the anonymity takes place when you don't actually know them as a human being. And this is an opportunity to do that.
So I think this is a good time for you guys to lay out what are the practical benefits. So being known is really important. Why?
Right. You know, all human beings want to be seen. Mm-hmm. And when you're seen, you actually, I mean, and I hate to make a utilitarian argument about this because we're just human. Let me take a little distraction or go down a path here. What's that right word?
Rabbit trail.
Detour. Yeah. So this last past weekend, I was at a funeral, a beautiful funeral for a friend of mine. God bless Michael Lorsch. And it was so wonderful to be there. He died young. It was very sad. Just a wonderful guy, a consultant friend of ours, the best consultant we had. I always said he would be my consultant. But the thing is, the connection we had with Michael and his children and his wife in talking about it at the funeral was all about how we interacted with each other in in his personal life. Mm-hmm. And even though they appreciated the professional interaction, they talked about, hey, this is what was going on in his life or my life and how you poured into that. And at the end of the day, literally the end of every day, or at the end of a job experience, you leave, go to another job, or at the end of our lives, the things that stand out is how we made one another's lives better. Mm-hmm. And and like Cody said, and as a manager, when I look at managing, I mean, I don't even think about managing you guys. We're just friends. At the end of the time, I don't want Karen to go, do you know what you did for my career in this field? I want to say I made a difference to her and her family as a person. That mm-hmm. is positive for me. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Cody, to think that that's not real is to like carve out the heart of business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to remind everybody of something too. I think I've said on the podcast, Brian Buffini, a wonderful guy I know, reminded me recently in the word Greek, in Greek, teamwork comes from the root word temi, which means family. Hmm. So to think that we would come to work and leave our personal lives behind is just antithetical to what the human experience is about. Mm-hmm. So getting back to what you said, Tracy, so one of the things is people feel fully human. The other mm-hmm. one is they are more productive. We can talk about this in a very practical sense. They are going to get more done knowing that people care about them.
Mm-hmm. It's funny your question, Tracy, just yesterday I was with Bo and he was telling me a story about this. I think this woman's name, I just looked it up as we were talking, was Angela Arendts. And she had run a fashion company and kind of turned it around. She was a CEO there and then became a executive member of Apple. And one of the things that she did was she sent a video to all of the store employees of Apple, like every Monday or something. This was one of her ways that she did it. And I guess one of the famous stories is that she was filming one of the videos and over communicating and kind of laying out the plan for that week or whatever. And in the middle of the video, she got a phone call and she told the camera crew, just keep running. It was her daughter. And she didn't get into one of the college classes she wanted to get into. And she consoled her on the phone and like, you know, it was a very human experience. And when she finished the video, she said, hey, just leave that part in. I want it to stay in. Don't edit it out. And she said that the story is that like hundreds or thousands of more replies came back to that video than almost any of the other videos that she had sent out. And consistently the reply was, oh my goodness, it's so great to see that we're all human, that we're like, that yes. you're dealing with something in your life and that the way you consoled your daughter was so amazing. So I just feel like there's it's such a gift to the employees when a leader mm-hmm. does that. And the leader doesn't have to sit down and say, okay, you tell me. They can go first. Like Pat, you can walk in and say, hey, I just want you guys to know I'm a little distracted because of this is going on. It's a gift to the employees.
Yeah, you know what I just thought of? And when people do that, I listen, I say, oh, I'm not the only family that has challenges. Mm-hmm. But when I really don't like to be around people who never acknowledge their challenges. it kind of pisses me off because it just makes me, and this is why social media sucks because all these people put these smiley faces, look, I'm doing this. And then they stop showing it. And then they go back to their frowny face and then they see everybody else's smiley face. And there's a bunch of frowny face people thinking everybody else has a smiley face. And now we're in a society-wide depression because everybody's just promoting that everything's perfect in my world and it's not. So when somebody comes to work and says, I'm really struggling. Yesterday I was in a meeting with somebody and we were talking about working genius. And somebody said, my daughter, this is her working genius. And I said, oh my gosh, my son has that same working genius. And this is what he struggles with. And she started to tear up. And we're like, what's wrong? And she goes, oh, I'm just feeling bad for my daughter. And we were able to go, oh no, we understand because I feel bad for my, because every working genius has its drawbacks. And we were able to empathize with her and it made her feel less alone. And if we had not had that conversation, she would have just been thinking, my family is broken. Nobody else's are. Nobody can relate to me.
Yeah.
That is miserable. Now, I'm going to anticipate objections one more time. So sometimes people will say, well, if we do this, if somebody comes and says, gee, my dad is suffering. I think he's dying right now. That we're all going to be super, we're going to treat them like they're fragile. And that we're going to, I think Matt and Karen were talking about this earlier. And then we won't ask them to do anything. And the worst thing is they're going to then feel fragile and they're going to say, I'm not going to tell anybody this stuff anymore. We actually don't treat them like they're fragile. What we say is like, okay, we're glad to know this. We're here for if you need us. Now we can actually get to work and you can know that it's been acknowledged and you can be productive. That helps them. Mm-hmm. People don't talk about their challenges in life so that they can be let out of work. In fact, they want to come to work and know that I can put it out there so I can get to work and feel good about this. So some people will say, well, it's just going to create a bunch of people saying, oh, why don't you go home? Oh, we shouldn't ask you to do more. Right. It's the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you're talking about that, Pat, all of this goes back to some of the core concepts that we talk about on this podcast. One is that this is a way of creating vulnerability-based trust on your teams, the bottom of the triangle of the five dysfunctions, because you know, it's interesting. It's one thing. This is why we talk about, you know, when you do, we talk about weakness finder. Because if all you do is go to work and say, hey, everyone tell me a highlight from your weekend, then it becomes a who had the better weekend. That doesn't build vulnerability. There's no one laying out like, hey, I'm struggling. This is just a competition to see who had better plans. If you ask the question that you asked, Pat, which is, hey, are you struggling with anything? Is anything distracting? That's a way of letting people go, yeah, you know, even if it's something like, hey, my pet just died, and that dog's been in our family for 12 years, and that's kind of hard for my kids, and we're working through that. Those are just like baby steps into vulnerability that make it easier to go a little bit further, to wade in further. So the practical benefit is actually that you're building the foundational team, the foundational block of teamwork, which is building trust.
Right. Hey, okay, I'm going to do something that we never do on the podcast, but Matthew just typed something in and he typed in the word anemone.
No, he was trying to make fun of the fact that I couldn't say anonymity. And so he was live time making fun of me typing it in the chat. So
I was sitting there going, is there something about a sea anemone that relates to this? Or did he try to put anonymous? And so he was teasing you. Good to know. People should know that this goes on behind the scenes, that Matthew has a hilarious sense of humor and likes to make fun of us in real time. Okay. But let's talk about sea anemones. That should be our next topic. So here's the deal. I want to just wrap this up by saying this. This is a very practical thing to do. It's also incredibly human. And business is meant to be both human and practical. And the more you live a life of love and caring about one another, the more you get done. And it's a win-win. And going back to that show Severance, the more you separate those two things, that is a bad idea on a human level and on a productivity and business level. So I want to encourage everybody to think about this. Like, hey, is anybody going through something that is probably distracting them that if we knew about it, we might be able to show some concern and it would allow you to offload that and be more present. And I think that would be great. So what we'd love to do right now is ask everybody to, if you do that, or if you have thoughts about this, send it to us. We love it. Matt was showing me podcast stuff today, which I love. Also, if you want to go out and review the podcast, we would really appreciate that. All right. That's it today, I think, because that's all we have to say.
Sounds good to me.
Tracy, Cody, Karen, Matt, thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We love doing this with you. We'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.